Donald Trump's attention appears to have pivoted away again from Ukraine, with his ambitions for Venezuela and Greenland front and center. But the U.S. president did send his special envoy, Steve Witkoff, and son-in-law Jared Kushner to a meeting in Paris on Ukraine with the country's leader, Volodymyr Zelensky. The gathering of what's known as the Coalition of the Willing ended with an agreement that the U.K. and France would deploy troops to Ukraine in the aftermath of any peace deal. The US representative said there would be real backstops to ensure Ukraine's security. Henry Foy is the Financial Times Brussels bureau chief. Welcome back to Radio National Breakfast.
Good morning, Barbara.
Henry, how significant is this declaration of intent signed in Paris by the UK and France?
Yeah, it is really quite a big deal. This is the first time any country has said that they will commit to sending troops to post-war Ukraine, essentially as a what they're calling a deterrence force or a reassurance force, troops with weapons that would be in-country, not on the front line, but in-country, to give a sort of safety blanket, if you like, and a reassurance to Ukraine that should Russia attack again, it wouldn't just be Ukrainian soldiers defending the territory, and there would be Western countries. It's worth saying, Barbara, that Emmanuel Macron, the president of France, said after announcing that France and the UK would put the troops there that he expected other countries to soon come forward and make similar pledges themselves, but didn't name them. So we could be looking at quite a large contingent saying that they would be prepared to go.
Have they spelled out how many troops they'd be prepared to put into Ukraine?
People are talking, in the thousands collectively. So it's not an enormous force, but significant enough. And it'd be quite a move to say, look, this country was invaded by Russia. And of course, we hope that there is a peace deal. But we're going to go in there just in case it happens again. I mean, it is quite a significant move.
And presumably these are conceived as peacekeeping troops, not troops that would get involved in any combat should there be further Russian military action there.
Well, they wouldn't be peacekeepers in the traditional sense, your UN blue helmets. They would be on the ground working with the Ukrainians, training Ukrainian soldiers, teaching Ukrainians more modern weaponry, but also kind of assessing and monitoring the ceasefire. They'd have boats in the Black Sea, fighter jets in the air as a way of monitoring all this. And this is where the Americans come in as well, because as part of this Paris Declaration that was signed this week, the Americans have committed to providing the technology to sort of autonomously manage the ceasefire, to monitor it, to make sure that any breaches of the peace, we know who started it, if you like, whether it was Russia, whether it was Ukraine, because that's really important in determining what the future response would be. I mean, of course, if Ukraine attacks Russia and restarts the war, Western countries aren't going to come to Ukraine's aid. If Russia is the one that attacks, there are clauses in this declaration that say Western countries would be standing with Ukraine. It remains to be seen what that would look like, of course, but the intention is there to say we're with you if Russia would come again.
Well, just to interpret for us, if you would, what your current understanding is of what the US would provide. They talked about backstops to ensure Ukraine's security. We know that Volodymyr Zelensky would like what are now being described as Article 5-like guarantees. Where does that all stand?
Yeah, this is the really big unanswered question. The Americans are talking about things like logistics, technical expertise, supply chain of weaponry and intelligence. So essentially satellites, drones, sensors, ways in which the Ukrainians and their allies who are on the ground are able to interpret the ceasefire and the potential battlefield ahead. It is worth saying, however, we do not know exactly what Donald Trump thinks. This is what Steve Witkoff, Jared Kushner, also Marco Rubio, his NSA, have been saying. But ultimately, Commander-in-Chief, the buck will stop with Trump. He will be the one that says, okay, American troops can be involved at a certain level in Ukraine or shouldn't be. So until Trump really decides what he wants to see in a post-ceasefire peaceful Ukraine, Europeans and Ukrainians are still a little bit nervous as to just how much to trust these American promises.
And perhaps a moot point when we're talking about Donald Trump, but is there a feeling that any decision like that about what ultimately these security guarantees would look like would need to be approved by the U.S. Congress?
That remains to be seen. But if you had a large deployment of American troops in or around Ukraine, you would probably need congressional approval for that. But however, Congress is much more pro-Ukraine, pro kind of transatlantic defense relationship than Donald Trump has shown in his first year of his second term. So I don't think there'd be too much of a worry in terms of congressional approval. Just one other thing, of course, it needs to be said here that we don't know what Russia thinks about this. I mean, at the moment, this is Ukraine, Europe, and the US discussing what the Ukrainian peace offer would look like and what Europe and the US would do to support Ukraine. We haven't actually had serious conversations between Moscow and Kyiv yet. And at the moment, Russia is saying that many, many, many parts of these proposals, they would never accept, primarily Western troops in Ukraine. So until Putin sits down at a table and starts to negotiate this, it is all kind of theoretical.
On Radio National Breakfast, my guest is Henry Foy, the Brussels bureau chief for the Financial Times newspaper. Look, I guess this Paris meeting was somewhat overshadowed by Donald Trump's actions in Venezuela, his designs on Greenland. How significant is this, though, what's happened there? Are we talking about a breakthrough, or is this pretty incremental?
The thing to bear in mind is that over the last year, you've had essentially two battles going on. One is the hot battle in Ukraine, the Russians and Ukrainians fighting and killing each other. The other brain is for Donald Trump's brain. And it is Vladimir Putin and Volodymyr Zelensky, backed by his European allies, trying to convince Trump that the obstacle to peace is the other one. And we've seen over the last year, Trump flip-flop a lot over who he's blaming, who he's close to. Putin and him have these conversations where they seem very happy with each other, very supportive, and there's lots of progress. And then Trump meets with Zelensky and the Europeans, and they try to convince him that actually Putin is the problem. So it is hard to see exactly where this will land because Trump is so mercurial. And as you're right, what's happened in Venezuela and what Trump is saying about Greenland is really, really distressing the Europeans. And what they're trying to do is try to separate some of these issues and say, okay, we need to make sure we get a deal in Ukraine. That's the primary objective here. We cannot get distracted by what he might be doing in Latin America. Greenland, however, is a complete game changer. If the US were to invade Greenland and NATO, part of Denmark, a NATO ally, part of the European Union, I think there would be huge problems, and I think it would force a massive reckoning in terms of how the Ukraine settlement would come. Of course, Vladimir Putin would probably be very happy about it because it would justify his position, which is the territory that you want and think you deserve, you can take with force.
And have we heard from Vladimir Putin following this statement of intent from France and the UK regarding troops?
There hasn't been a direct response from the Kremlin, but they have said repeatedly in the past that they will not tolerate any NATO troops in Ukraine. Of course, one of the reasons Putin launched this full-scale war almost 4 years ago was to stop Ukraine ever joining NATO and to, essentially what he said, prevent the expansion of NATO any further east. So I think if there was a peace deal that resulted in NATO troops being deployed in Ukraine, Putin would see that as something of a loss. However, these are peace negotiations that will happen at some point. Everyone is setting out their stand as a sort of negotiation tactic. So a lot's to play for, but as far as the Ukrainians are concerned, they can only deal with themselves. What they want is to be able to say, we've agreed with the Americans, we've agreed with the Europeans, these are our red lines, this is where we can compromise, and put that on the table. And then ultimately, if Putin refuses to negotiate, it's clear to Trump where the problem lies.
A lot to play for, a lot to unpack. Thank you so much for doing that for us, Henry Foy.
Thank you.